Hello and welcome to Hit Chat Chit Chat.
My name's Connor Reynolds.
On today's podcast, we are actually going to be going over.
Essentially, just going to talk about hitting, how much can go forward. I absolutely love the swing being compared to a catapult, scapular muscle. And what I'm going to look to try and do throughout the entire swing is build that tension.
If you are a coach that is unwilling to ask why and the how of how to do something, and you are doing a disservice to your players,
my goal is to try and make every single kid a Ken Griffey. Shotter is here. The reason I like the cricket bat is it's flat. Thank you for the sub, my guy. I really appreciate it. What else do we got for the folks? There we go. We should be live.
I'm your host, Connor Reynolds, and today we have a very special guest, someone that I have followed on social media for a long time, someone that was able to kind of make some early moves in his life, and someone that I have, like I said, been following for a long time and just really kind of admire what you've been able to do with your company, with Half Bats and stuff like that. But if you don't mind introducing yourself, and I might mess up your last name, Trey Hannum.
I'm Trey Hannum. I'm a professional hitting coach. I was with the New York Mets. I was a professional player down in Puerto Rico myself. I coached Division I level for 1 year, right before I went to the Mets. I'm 25, so I've done quite a bit. I was Division I coach at 22. It's actually been insane what I've been able to do in a short period of time. I'm not sure how I've done it. I never thought I would do this, especially on this timeline or just in general. I had no idea what I was actually going to do in baseball, and it just started going and going and going, and I just took off with it. Social media has definitely helped me a ton, and I want to make sure that I give back to the exact same people who helped me, but also, as you saw this week, I'm giving away my whole my monthly membership for my hitting membership website to all college players, because I think that if I could go back, I needed that help when I was in college. I didn't know the resources were actually out there. And I went to the media and it just blew up for me, and I got really, really good really fast. And I want to make sure that people aren't missing out on that opportunity.
That's something special, man. I saw that last week that you guys were looking to do that. I jumped on, retweeted it right away the moment I saw it, because I'm right in the same boat, man. Like, I remember being in college and I had coaches, but I didn't feel like I had, like, someone that knew exactly what I was having an issue with. Like, I had people that were invested in me, but it wasn't, I guess, the what I was needing as a player in that time. And for you to be able to offer something free like that to all college guys, that's really special. So you got started coaching Division I baseball at the age of 22. How in the world did that kind of get started?
Well, it was a little bit of social media, but not really. It was kind of more word of mouth. When I was a junior and senior in college, I played at nationally ranked Division II at Illinois Springfield. And I felt like I was kind of the hitting coach on that team a little bit, just because I was learning so much. But also the coach, the head coach right there, was just like, hey, you're really good at this. Make sure you don't overstep some things, but you're really good at this, at communicating and learning how to look at video and learning how the real field stuff with that. So right after I got done playing Division II, I went to Puerto Rico and played a summer. I came home, did some training just as like a little side job. And I was actually like talking to my fiance, talking to my parents. I was like, actually, I hate to say this, but I love coaching more than I actually do playing. My dad was a high school basketball coach in my area. So he's still coaching, still doing all that. But I actually love coaching more than I actually do playing. And I really wanted to make sure that I could get into that and not leave some of the opportunities that I actually have right there. So I got a call from the local Division I. Like, Trey, we love everything you've done. We love your opportunity of being able to still feel like you can play, which will give the authenticity that you can with the players, that they know that you're not some old dude who is just trying to talk. You actually know what it feels like to be in that batter's box when a bad call happens, when someone dives and makes your play, when you feel really good in BP, but you can't quite hit in the game. You know what all that still feels like, and it still feels real. So you get that huge authenticity from a player who just left the batter's box, because now he's trying to help you be better in the batter's box. I still feel that day to day now, and it makes me feel like I could really relate to any player no matter what. And I think that really is my kind of selling part on me, the authenticity, but also I could relate to them very, very well.
That's awesome. And how long were you there before you got the call from, the big leagues?
So I was there for a year. I actually got the call right before the spring. and I would have felt bad if I left. The opportunity was decent, but I didn't want to leave for just that opportunity. I wanted to make sure, like I said, I talked to my fiance, I talked to my parents, and I said, I don't want to leave unless it's like a great opportunity. So after that year, I got called like August after kind of the season, minor league season calls, and I said, I'm going. Like, I can't wait for this. It was tough with my fiance. I had to kind of move a little bit. But then COVID hit. So my full year in pro ball was all COVID, right? So it was kind of weird. So I went down for instructional ball. Absolutely insane opportunity. Absolutely insane experience. And I lived it up. I was down there for a month. Then I went to spring training and stuff like that. But it was amazing. But it was all COVID. Then the what happened was I was down there, and they test me out a little bit. Hey, this is new kid. Some of our prospects are actually older than you. My very first question in the interview process was, how are you going to relate, or how are you going to talk, or how are you going to teach a kid? He's 19 years old. He just signed for $8 million. How are you going to teach a kid how to hit when he just made all this money? And the biggest thing is you got to talk to him. You got to communicate with him to show him that you care. Show him the beneficiary movements that you can make instead of just tell him. Show him why it can help him, make him better. He'll ponder a little bit, maybe sleep on a little bit, and come back to you. But you always want to make sure they're open to learn instead of you just trying to talk to them.
And is that something that you started kind of learning when you were being that kind of player coach? When your coach first mentioned, you know, there are some, you know, when you're learning this stuff, there are some boundaries as a player coach. But do you feel that communication aspect you started learning when you started coaching-ish as a player back in the day? Or when do you feel you kind of were able to start to actually understand that? Because that's something I feel like a lot of younger coaches – I'm 25 as well. I played on or coached at the 17U Perfect Game Circuit this past summer, and there's a lot of people older than me that don't really understand that aspect of the coaching. So when were you really able to get an understanding of that?
Honestly, yeah, it was kind of like player coach opportunity, that type of stuff. But I think the biggest thing, most important thing, is self-awareness. Looking at body language, looking at how they're responding to you, looking at how they respond in general to coaching. Look at how, if they're positive, if they're negative, how you can talk to them, that type of stuff. I think self-awareness is number one, understanding the situation, understanding the player, all that type of stuff, understanding what you can benefit or how you can benefit them of when you can talk to them in a certain situation.
I like that. And when did half bat start coming around a little bit? That's something I actually got. Let me see if I can. Oh, yeah, here it is. After seeing you, I actually went and got a cricket bat because I want to be able to hit some baseballs off the tee and stuff with it. How did that kind of get about? When did that get about, and how did that start coming up?
It's insane. So there's a facility out in Philadelphia, PDS Baseball. I'm sure you've seen it. Chez over there. They do a solid job. So they actually created that. It was actually to help you. It wasn't to hit baseballs at all. It was actually to help you, like kind of like a PVC pipe. You're trying to feel the whoosh. But you're also trying to turn it to a certain situation or a certain location. It's where your palm is up, palm is down. Just make sure you're not pushing it. Just like if you have that paddle, if you push it, the angles aren't going to line up right. It's going to chop. It's going to do everything. So you almost want to turn it behind, then make it whoosh. So I said, what happens if we make this a little bit thicker? Then we end up hitting some smush balls. We end up hitting foam balls, whatever, off the machine. So now you can hit with it. Obviously not baseballs yet. So what happened was there's an opportunity there, and I'm huge. All I want to do is progress. I had one, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever because you never get tired. The hands never hurt. My biggest thing is a lot of guys' hands start hurting when the body starts getting hurt or tired, and they start getting mentally fatigued before they actually get the beneficial reps. Like it's way more than you actually think. You should be swinging so much more, but your hands get tired, your body gets tired. So let's give you a super light bat and just get all those reps in, like all day, every day. So actually happened was, I haven't talked about this much, I reached out to PDS and I said, hey, I'm gonna order like 20 bats, like I want some. And they said, hey, we're just not making them anymore. So what do I do? As like I'm trying to progress, I hit up like many bat companies, like, hey, we can't make that, it's really hard to make that cut. I keep on reaching out, test a lot of bats, and finally found this company that I'm still with now, and I bought like 200 of them for this camp that I ran in Omaha with actually Richard and a couple other guys. And we sold out. Every player got a bat. Like, it came with your participation, like, offer, all that stuff. Every player got one. It went amazing. I was so scared. I was actually delivering them and doing whatever out in my basement, like 200, about like 300. That's my savings, right? That's a lot of money for a kid that just got out of college. I bought them and went absolutely insane. It was like a wildfire on social media just because of how much more beneficial reps you can get without getting tired. But also you get the immediate feedback of, we get this. If you're too much down, it's going to chop. If you're too much under, it's going to go straight up. You want to get straight behind so you can hit more of a line drive, that type of stuff. And I was scared to buy the first 200, 300. Now we've sold over 5,000. Insane. I had no idea it was come to this, but I'm very happy it did.
That's awesome. And what kind of timeline did the half bats come up in the last 3 years kind of that you've been coaching? When did that kind of come up?
A timeline, it started off slow. Then I really started getting on social media. I didn't necessarily send out free bats, but I would give them discounted for people who would post about it. I do it a little bit now, but not really. We can only keep up so much with wood, especially with the demand it is right now with all the wood. Everything's high with the prices, and everything is kind of backtracked due to COVID. So I don't necessarily do that now, but it's still at a record pace. It's crazy. It's probably a 2-year process. Right now we have like scheduled kind of demands where kids are coming back in school, kids are getting ready to start in the spring. So we have kind of ramping up parts around Christmas, that type of stuff. But it is insane. So probably a 2-year process. It's all organic. I don't do any paid advertising on like Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, that type of stuff. It's more word of mouth. And I put a little sticker on there and a stamp actually on the barrel of where you can get them on the website. And word of mouth, people see it, people want it. But it's gone crazy. Actually, I was getting so busy with it, I almost sold it away. That my biggest thing is I want to network as much as I can. I want to be connected with as much as I can. What was happening was people were reaching out to me. Hey, I saw this at a facility, blah, 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 blah. One coaches like top, like you can look on my website, the Dodgers using them, the Astros are using them. I got so many connections just by selling the half bat. Maybe I make 50% profit. That doesn't matter. The connection is so much more beneficial than actually having that 50% profit. It is insane. That's so much more beneficial for me in my potential career. I could throw a half bat and still be one of the best hitting coaches, I think. But like the connections that I'm building is insane for me. That's the most beneficial thing.
I remember when I think it was when LSU signed on or partnered up with you to do it. Those are some of the cleanest looking half bats I've ever seen in my life, man. Those things.
For real. We literally
sexy.
We almost made like 50 of them just to have like an LSU Tiger edition. They were that nasty. Some people were like, hey, you should actually do that. Or like a Texas Longhorn edition or like a Oklahoma softball edition. Like that'd be awesome. It's probably not very ideal as like a business thing, maybe like 10 and be like, hey, there's only 10, like a Supreme item. But that's people definitely jumped on board once LSU and Oklahoma did that. But I'm very thankful for some of the coaches that are trusting this process.
That's awesome, man. To be able to see that. And then also just the ability for it to work in softball and then also baseball. I think it's breaking down kind of a lot of barriers or a lot of pre-notion thoughts that coaches have had in the past of that it has to be separate or there are two different swings or whatever it may be. I think just breaking it down and just saying like, hey, this is just what feeling we need to be having. This is what is able to produce the most amount of veritability, allowing us for that margin of error. It's just having a flat bat in the zone for as long as we can. The training that you're doing outside of the half bats, the training that you're doing, are you out, you said Illinois?
I'm in Illinois. I have my own facility. I was going facility a little bit, trying to find the right spot. I knew what I wanted exactly. I wanted a more privatized location where I could do whatever I wanted. I could put on the loudest rap music of all time, whatever I wanted, instead of having to be policed or people watching me. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Everyone knows that. So I had to go to kind of commercial locations. I would stay there for a year. I was like, not really feeling it. Go somewhere else. People wanted me in their cages, but I wanted to make sure everything around me was also exactly how I wanted. So I ended up finding this guy. He actually made a sweet facility for his grandkids. His grandkids got a little older. So now he's like, hey, Trey, I want you to run it or kind of take over it just so I don't have to. go over it now, and it's only people who train with me come in and out, and it is absolutely amazing, and I'm very grateful for the situation.
That's awesome. And what does that training look like? What are the ages that you're working with? Are you doing only one-on-ones? Are you doing groups? How do you kind of go about your training sessions?
So I think I'm definitely trying to integrate more group training, especially in the summer and like Christmas break when all the college kids are in town. I have to do group training because there's only so much time. But also life happens, right? I'm not going to be able to be at the facility 8 hours a day. It's crazy. Probably start a family soon. Like it's probably time. So I'm really trying to integrate small group training. So I'm only there 4 hours a day instead of 8 or 12, whatever. Like that can't be a thing for me. So right now, just like everyone, I started out one-on-one training. Some people still prefer that, but I'm not allowing that anymore just because of the demand and the schedule, regulations that I have to have just because my wife and family. But right now I'm trying to start doing only 4 hours, of group training. Two to probably six players at the same time. I have one huge cage where I can kind of section it off, but I also have another cage on the side that are really big, and a lot of machine, a lot of med balls, a lot of just drill work in general, but also a ton of competition stuff. I love competition. Sometimes when you don't have enough players to do a competition, I'll hop in and I'll just start hitting with them as long as someone's feeding the machine. And I just want to push them because something triggers in their mind, something triggers in their heart rate, in their heartbeat. When there's competition, they start hitting a little bit different than when they're actually really comfortable. And I want to see what happens when the heart rate gets up, when they start focusing, when there's pressure on them a little bit. Hey, I can't let Troy beat me, or else I got 10 pushups, or else I got like 10 med ball slams, that type of stuff. I want to see what happens when that heart rate starts going up. Maybe it's not the prettiest looking thing, but it's definitely a more real thing. And that's what we want to see.
100%. On Tuesday, I was working with a 60-need team that hired me on to do their hitting. We were doing a competition, but before that, we were just doing a small circuit. We had a machine. We had like 3 or 4 stations, and guys were just doing 8 swings and just a lot of rotations, just getting a lot. I never touched the pitching machine. I didn't do anything with the speed, location, nothing for the first like 3 rounds. We go to competition. I didn't touch the machine. These 16-year-olds went from looking like, you know, Willie Mays just crushing baseballs. Competition time comes, and we're looking to just hit hard line drives over some L-screens that I set up, little obstacles. All of a sudden, everyone was swinging and missing. The ball was coming in 3 times harder, this or that. Why did you change it? Why did you move it? And I just looked at him and was like, I didn't do anything. Like, this is all you guys. This is your own thought. The moment we create a challenge, the moment we create a winner or a loser, everything changes. Your heart rate increases. Everything feels faster. And so just exactly going over that's incredible. I love that. And when you're going through, what kind of failure are you integrating into this training? Are we looking more so just for feeling good off the machine? Are you integrating? I mentioned Robert Riggins earlier. I mean, he's doing 150 mile an hour reaction time, oppo hack attack type stuff, which is extreme. But how are you and your training integrating failure into what you guys are doing?
I want to go back to what you just said. The heart rate, it acts like it speeds the ball up. Now think about this. Everyone's done this. They stand in on bullpens, and this is meatball. And you're like, dude, I'm going to break that. I'm going to hit that. But not anticipate actually hit it. You're standing there. The heart rate's slow, blah, blah, blah. You go to the actual game, and it looks like it speeds up. It feels like it speeds up. It's like, hey, it doesn't look like a meatball anymore. That same pitcher. It's the same pitch. It's the same bullshit 85 mile an hour. But your heart rate makes it feel 92 with a hard slider. No, it's the same. Like, slow it down. Like, relax. It's all about heart rate stuff. So getting them to train how to slow yourself down, almost feel, I say, I want you to feel like a freaking big leaguer. Stand there, act like you're a big leaguer, be calm instead of getting happy feet and jumpy all the time. It's disgusting. But you gotta learn how to train for that. You guys see it every day. You gotta learn to train for that instead of, hey, he hits really good with you, but he doesn't hit in game. We have to make the training in training a little bit nastier compared to in the game. If not, make it a little bit harder. As you know, you guys are on that all day. Make it a little bit harder so the game feels easier. I want you to face Chapman in practice and then go face 85 in game and make it feel easier. But now you get the BS. Hey, it's too slow now in game. Okay, now I'm going to throw you all slow, I guess. You're an idiot. So I have to do that every day. You have to deal with that every day. But I'm about as real as it gets with people. I had a kid yesterday. Oh my God, I about punched him in the face. I had a kid yesterday. His dad's feeding the machine. Nobody was available to train with him, so I trained with him. And I beat him in the competition. He said, Trey, you got easier pitches because you're taller. I said, what are you talking about? If anything, I got harder pitches. It's a low and away slider fastball, and it's actually harder and longer for me to get down there. You're just looking for an excuse, and I should kick you out of the cage right now just because of how weak that excuse was. Are you serious? I was like, dude, I don't even hit that much anymore, and you're fully warmed up, everything. I don't even do anything to get warmed up, and I just beat you. Like, it's just you being soft. And the dad was just laughing, just going off on him. But how do I do challenges? How do I kind of break them down a little bit? How do I make them fail a little bit? Me, context is the most important thing. Self-awareness is the most important thing. I look at how they are personally. A lot of kids can't handle much failure. It's freaking tough. Some kids only come see me once a month. They just want to tune up. They want to do whatever. Maybe they're from Tennessee and they're coming to see me for 8 hours. Maybe I can't break them down quite yet because I don't know what type of person they are yet. I don't know what they're going through. I have to fully learn them. They have to be my top five, top 10 dudes for me to be able to yell at them, scream at them, and really challenge them, because I don't want them to be misunderstood on my end. I have to fully get all the context from them. So after I learn them and they're with me quite a bit, then I look at what's their schedule of playing look like. Are they in season? Are they out of the season? Are they doing well in games? Are they doing badly in games? It's tough. Some guys need built up. Some guys need built down. Some guys need challenged. So it all depends on what the hitter needs. I do more challenging and failing than most people, but I also do a lot of building up than most people. I probably do 60-40. Feel good, then challenge, then feel good, then challenge. I'll probably do a mixing of both. Quite honestly, just to make sure that they do understand how good they are instead of always being built down. Because, you know, I know, everyone knows, when they get in that car ride with their dad, with their mom, they're always being pushed down. They're always being talked down on. I want to be that person who's always building them up, but also challenging them, then building them up some more, then challenging them, then building them up some more. I don't want to be that person. Hey, damn it, I got to go trade today. He's going to throw 92 with a slider right at my front hip. Then they go home and their dad's chirping in their ear again. Like, he's always being pushed down, pushed down, pushed down. Now he wants to quit. It's not quitting because he doesn't have the physical ability. He's quitting because it's the mental thing. He's always being pushed down. Why would you want to do something where you're always pushed down at? Why would you want to be in a relationship with your wife or fiance that you always push down at? You're gone, right? I'm not playing baseball anymore. So I try to have that healthy relationship of push up, 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 then down, down, down. But I always make sure that they understand, hey, we're doing this so the game feels easier. I'm not doing this to be a jackass.
I love that. And when you're going through, when you are incorporating this failure, for the people back home, when you're doing that, obviously it's going to be from case to case, player to player, what failure to them is. What would you commonly see? I mean, obviously we're not going to put, it's tough to put a blanket over all high school hitters or whatever, but the guys that you're working with, what are you feeling is the more common deficiency or movement or whatever that they're doing, and what failure aspect do you bring into that? Is it a pitching machine? Is it setting up opposite side on soft toss? Is it plyos? What failure are you using for what you feel is the more common issue right now?
I'll do tons of pitch machines. I actually have four pitch machines that I love doing. I'll sometimes throw softball machines at baseball players when they get too much of an uppercut swing. So now it feels like a rise ball. You have to feel your swing still turning, but it's more of a downward angle. Just make sure they're not getting too much under. So I'll do all that type of stuff. Some guys who don't hit through the ball very well, I'll throw a softball machine right down the middle, and they got to be able to hit through the softball. It's definitely harder to hit through a softball than it's baseball. When you hit a baseball, it feels like you're hitting a golf ball or a tennis ball. Super light. So I'll do all that type of stuff. I'll do foam balls out of the actual pitch machine, whether they take it, whether they swing at it, whatever. Just make sure that they're seeing that. They're not always swinging because some guys get off the machine and they're just swinging. It's not the case typically in the game. Sometimes you're going to take that up and in pitch that you can't quite drive it. You're just going to maybe hit it to the shortstop, and that's not the goal. So it depends. But everything I do is machine, whether it's softball pitch with a baseball player, whether it's baseball pitch with a softball player, whatever. All in all, challenging the most I can with different angles, different speeds. What I did this week was I did a lot of depth. I do really short pitches. I'll walk up there, do a really short pitch, walk all the way back as a softball player. I'll walk 50 feet back and do a 50-foot softball pitch when it's actually 40. Then I'll do like a 30-foot pitch just to make sure that they're really quick for a fastball, but then they're waiting for that ball to get over the plate. Then they're waiting for that, because a lot of players do really well and the ball is really quick and really up close to them. Quick reaction time, you just got to go, just be an athlete. When the ball takes forever to get there, then they really have to go. So I'm huge on changing speeds and changing depth with the pitches.
That's awesome. And for you to be able to get this much accomplished, this much training, get an idea of what you're wanting to do with a successful business in the short amount of time, what would you say is the like 15 to 30 year plan right now? Is it, I mean, you have your own facility, you've already coached Division I, you've already coached at the professional level. What is kind of the idea or goal that you are working towards?
To ask this, I think every day it might differ a little bit, but all in all, I want to be the most beneficial or most valuable hitting coach I can be on the MLB and collegiate level. Obviously, a consultant. Obviously, I don't want to move. I love my life right now. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. I want to be on salary or consulting big league players or top prospect players in collegiate teams right now.
That's awesome. I like that. Is there, getting a little bit more towards the end, is there anything that you would like to plug? A little bit more half bats, a little bit more training with Trey? Anything else you'd want to do?
Definitely. So training with Trey. So what I do is I record a lot of my videos in person, and just to show my athletes in general, then I'll edit those up. Maybe I'll do a little overview on my end after the session. Then I'll edit those and I'll put them on the website, and I'll put it in a strict folder of, hey, I'm struggling with, hey, I'm too rotational with the lower half. I'll put it in that folder of how to stay more linear. Or, hey, I'm too linear with my upper half. I'll put it in the folder just to be more rotational. Or the opposite, I'm too rotational, I need to stay more linear. I'll put those folders after I edit it with all the context. And if you need some, go to that folder, and it's always saved. Videos are going to be pumped out every day. I think it's the most valuable membership type of thing that you can have, strictly because you're going to have a plan, you're going to have an idea, instead of guessing and going to bed guessing about what you need to work on or what you need to see. Just go to, hey, I need to go to Trey's folder right here. Hey, Dad, this is what I saw. I think this is what we need to work on. Instead of, hey, your dad's chirping here, you need to work on this, you need to work on this. Hey, Trey said I need to work on this. I'm going to work on this. I'm fully bought in on Trey. Let's do this. I think he's really going to help. Having that mental plan of, hey, I know what I'm going to do right here. Let's go do it. Instead of, I'm going to try this. I saw this on YouTube. I saw this on Instagram, whatever. No, Trey said this. I'm bought in on this. I trust this. Let's go. It's right or wrong, they trust this.
That's huge, is that trust aspect, especially there's going to be the highs, there's going to be the lows of the training. And if you don't trust what you're doing at the lows, you're not really going to be able to get to those highs. And being able to trust and have a consistent voice like Train with Trey, I think is going to be something really special. So I want to just say thank you for being able to do that for all these collegiate guys, being able to offer something like that. Because again, I was one of those guys that kind of was, I wanted to work, but I didn't really know what I needed to work with. And I was struggling, but I didn't know why. I didn't know the how of the process. And so I think what you're doing is special.
Thank you. And it's tough. I talk to a lot of players and they're like, hey, I see this, I see this. You got TikTok now, you got Instagram, you got Twitter, you got YouTube, right? It's huge. You have all four of those sources. And I say, honestly, like, who are you following? My typical first thing when I talk to hitters, they want to work with me. Who are you following? And I'm like, hey, cross that out. Just because that's the opposite of what we're trying to do. Now you get that in your head and it's like, hey, that's not going to work for you. He teaches a very linear swing. You need to get more rotational. Like, it's going to make you overthink. It's going to be really beneficial for you. I would probably cross that out. And they're like, hey, I completely agree. Let's do it. I don't want to be clouded in my mind too much. So that's the typical thing that I say. But also, you go to YouTube, you go to whatever, and I'm huge on social media about learning. But these coaches are saying so many different things, and there's never a why, there's never a how, there's never, hey, this is what to look for. So I would just do this. This is what this MLB player is doing. But like, there's no context. Hey, this is what Barry Bonds feels. But like, this is not what he does. This is not like whatever. You go do Barry Bonds feels, and I was chopping the hell out of it. He didn't chop the hell out of it. It's tough. Find a coach who you trust. And buy into what he's doing, just because you're going to be so much more better mentally and physically instead of always searching, always on the fence about something instead of I'm sold on this, let's go do this.
I always tell my guys, you got to jump in the deep end. You can't just dip your little toes in it. You got to jump in the deep end. You just got to go. Last thing, any social media accounts you highly suggest, any podcasts, any YouTube videos, books, movies, anything that you highly suggest for anyone trying to learn and get better?
I do a lot of podcasts. Podcasts, audiobooks. I do some books. So Legacy is the All Blacks book. That one's huge on more ethics and in a team. Pound the Stone, I think, is huge. I'm not sure if you've read it. It's unbelievable. Pounding the Stone over, do it. Keep getting better. Keep getting better. On that 101 pound, it's finally going to crack, right? It's not going to happen on the first one. Maybe it happens on the third one. Maybe it happens on the ninth one. It'll keep going as long as you're doing the right things and you trust it. I'm huge on that. A couple of the audiobooks, Inner Game of Tennis is really good. I love that one. But personally, a lot of videos. I want to see. I don't want to hear you talking about hitting. I want to see what you're doing. Just like there's that Richard and Jeff Fry huge meeting coming on in, I think, like a month. And that's like 2 hours away from me. But that's not going to be very beneficial. They're just going to talk. The most beneficial thing would be, hey, on stage, give them two hitters, give them 30 minutes. Who's going to make a player better? Give them data. You give them whatever. You give them Rapsodo. Hey, who's going to be able to hit the ball harder and more consistently? Who's going to be able to launch quicker, more consistently? Who's going to be able to be on time more consistently? That's the real winner, right? Talking and talking and talking, winning with words isn't going to do it. Show me how you can make me more of a better hitter, and that's who wins. That's what makes you a better coach. Talking better words does make you a better coach. And I need to tell Richard that. Everyone needs to tell Richard that. But he would win by far. He is so beneficial for most athletes. He is really good.
It sounds like we're actually about to start. What is that tattoo showdown or whatever, where there's like 10 contestants, they all get their own canvas, they do a tattoo, and then they all come back, they're judges. Sounds like we're about to start a hitting version. Need where that. We just get 10 random kids come in, we got 10 coaches, you got your own cage, you got an hour and a half to try and get them better, go from the start, go from the beginning, and at the end, let's see who can make the best hitter. I think we're onto something here, Trey.
I agree. I would totally invest in that. I would totally run that. I would be all ears. Let's do it.
Beautiful. Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you so much. And again, for the time zone issues, I really appreciate it. And yeah, man, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Hey, I really am grateful for the opportunity. I love it. Keep me updated on anything you need from me. I'm all ears. Just a text away.
Oh, I'm going to be taking full advantage of that opportunity. So thank you for that.
Good.
Awesome. Thank you, man. Okay. Appreciate it.